volunteering her. Okay, let us pray. Amen. All right. Now we're going to read the Bible a lot, this section. So, did we divide up ourselves? Sure, go ahead. Yes. Now we have three portions of scripture to read. One is fairly long, and maybe we can divide that into two. So, somebody over on my left, I'd like you to read, is it Matthew 24, 24 to 28? Somebody over on this side here. Somebody in the parting of the ways is going to read 2 Peter 2, 1 to 11. And somebody on right here on this section of the front here is going to read 2 Peter 2, 12 to 22. And the first reader is going to be from this side. And that's Revelation 14, 6 to 12. Revelation 14, 6 to 12. Okay, thank you. The season fountains of water. We got to continue right down onto 12. Sister Caroline? Yes. Well, I should have if I didn't.
The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out within mixture unto the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patient of the saint. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you very much. Who knows anything about that portion of scripture that was just read? Do you know anything about that portion of scripture which was just read? That is the three angels' message. And what does the three angels' message have to do with us? What does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with prayer? What does it have to do with the butterfly? Lots of questions, right? Lots of questions. Okay, so I believe you can answer the first two questions, and maybe you can answer the third, because, you know, it's the same Holy Spirit who talks to us, you know, if we're listening. Okay. First question was, what does it have to do with, what is it? You said it was a three angels message. What does that have to do with us? What does it have to do with prayer? A judgment message, a message from the sanctuary with Jesus as our high priest. Okay. We have to go out and declare the third angel's message. And you were saying something, Sister Harvey? We have to teach it. All right. So I'm going to reserve the last question. Pardon? To worship. Wow. What is worship? Praise. Praise. So we're going to leave the part of the butterfly a little bit. Then we're going to discuss what we just talked about just now. All right. So we're supposed to worship. We see it's a part of the sanctuary message. It's a part of the judgment message. So what does that mean? All these things that we have answered, what do they mean? God's love, the cross, deliverance, freedom. Okay, good. Good answers. Anything else? Preparing for the judgment. God wants us to be with him. Okay, so that's a key word there. We're going to write on our brains the word preparation. God wants us to be with him. All right, so God wants us to be with him. So he wants us to be with him, and then he gives us a message, and he says, we are to fear him. What does it mean to fear him? Reverence. Respect. Mm-hmm. What else? It's the opposite of being afraid of. Now, this is a very, very powerful answer, because usually we think of fear as being afraid of. But now she sang. Where did she get her answer from? Wow. In Genesis. You want to share that with us? She said it's the opposite of being afraid of. I'm going to take you on your answer, my sister. Wow. Did we hear that? Do you agree with her? I agree with her. I agree with her. They stopped fearing God when they started to become afraid of him. Now, I'm going to say it in modern terminology. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Is that what she's saying? Yes. So the Bible says that the knowledge of the holy is to depart from wickedness. Exactly. So we're coming to that because somebody mentioned that as faith, love. I think my sister over there talked about love. So perfect love casts out fear. Now, where do we get love from? Where did we find love? Let's look at Galatians 6 there and see if we can find love. We're going to mark that page in Revelation 14 because since we say it's the third angel's message and a Seventh-day Adventist, we say that that's our message. We're going to ask ourselves if we know the message, first of all, if we're teaching the message, and if anything around us, like the things of nature, are teaching us this message. So we're going to go to Galatians. Because we need to understand what this message is all about, because that is going to affect our ministry. Because this is a message of ministering. Okay? So Galatians 6, 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. 5. Thank you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Did we talk about the Spirit today? What did we say about the Spirit? What did we say about the Spirit this morning? Let me go back a little bit. What did we say about the Spirit? When the chrysalis is in its cocoon, we see, based on what Ellen White said, that the grace of God is like a golden chain let down to this world, from heaven to this world, to redeem and to succor those who are under the curse of sin. And we saw where the butterfly, right? Well, before he got into the cocoon. And even from the video that we saw that he attached himself to the under part of the twig or the tree or something. Because, as the Bible says, we are all sold under sin. Slaves to sin. We are under the law. But those who are living according to the law are not under the law, but they are under grace. And so we see the Spirit of God and we believe that being inside there. Let us look at the bulleted points. What does the Spirit do for us? Our wills completely submerge into Christ. We stop fighting. We stop fighting the mind of Christ. And we saw in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 to 16 talks about the mind of Christ. We say the mind of God knows the things of God, and he takes the things of God and translates them to our mind through our spirits. So sometimes you say, oh, my mind tell me so and so. We use that expression, right? You know, I had a mind was telling me that. Well, it didn't come from you. There are only two sources of information in the world. It comes from God. It comes from Satan. We just develop the egoic mind through our experiences and our observations. And so because of our sinful way of interpreting the observations and the experiences, we develop the egoic mind and we call it logic and reasoning. But we want to lose that mind. We don't say we mustn't apply logic and reasoning, but we have to apply it according to the word of God, because the Bible in Proverbs says, we are to trust in the Lord with all our might, and we are not to lean where? To our understanding. So we have to lean to the understanding of the mind of God. And those of us, we put up our hands this morning. We said, lots of us have some crazy experiences. People think, oh, how can you be doing that? What's wrong with you? Well, and they go on and on and on. And you just look at them and thinking, you don't have a clue what's going on here. Because people think you're crazy when you do certain things or whatever. And they think, how could you just up and just be gone like that? Well, how did Abraham just up and was gone like that? Who called him to go anywhere? He was going to be the head of his father's clan. He was going to be the head of that group of people. He was going to be a chieftain of those people who were worshiping idols. But here comes this God of the Hebrews. As the Bible said, Abraham was called when he was in uncircumcision. So he was called as a heathen man. And God called him and said, okay, I want you to leave heathenism and come worship me, Jehovah. And Abram said, huh? Who are you? What? Abram had the mind to worship. Okay? So sometimes God tells us to do things and people think, well, you're a little bit cuckoo up there. I don't understand those people, whatever. How they could live like that, blah, 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 story, story, story. And on the other hand, you're saying, I don't understand how those people could live like that. You're right, Sister Shifrin? Yeah, because you're thinking, okay. Because when you get to that place where you're totally surrendered to Christ, it becomes easy sailing. Easy, I tell you. You're not responsible for anything. And people think, how you live like that? Well, God takes the responsibility for everything. Stop worrying, stop stressing. Okay. All right. So we were looking now at the third angel's message. We're looking at it in terms of the fruits of the Spirit. And then it is the Spirit who does that in the case of the butterfly. So our minds are surrendered to God. We take on Christ's minds. Love of Christ. The apostle says, for the love of Christ constrains us. What does the word constrain mean? Hold you back or push you forward? Yes, it holds you back. Constraints, yeah, it holds you back or it pushes you forward. So then give me another meaning, putting those two meanings together. Hold you back, push you forward. What does constrain mean? Give me another meaning. Keeps you grounded. Let go and let God work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Propels you. The love of God moves you. Remember, excuse me, in the beginning, what did we see here in the first three verses of Genesis? It said that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And what happened? The Spirit of God did something. It moved. And after the Spirit of God moved, what happened? Life came forth. So when the Spirit of God moves us, we have that same kind of life. So we see how what happened in Genesis is happening to us today, right? And that's why it's so important to read every book in the Bible. Don't say it was for those people back there, because if we understand what was happening back there, we will understand who we are today, where we're going, and how we fit into the third angel's message. So the Spirit of God propels. Like recently I met a lady, we have in Calgary, we have a little French Sabbath school. You know, and I'm the elder for over there from my church, the Mother Church, Bridgeland. And so the lady who kind of like started it, they're just a baby. We're still nurturing them and what have you. And the lady who started it, she just told me a week before last, she said, I'm going to Ottawa. I said, you're going to Ottawa? You just came to Calgary. She said, the Spirit sent me to Ottawa. I said, so do you have a job? She said, no. So where are you going to stay? She said she thinks she knows some friends there. She's moving to Ottawa. Well, because I kind of like know those things, I just said, okay, sister, go in peace. Now, some other people would tell her, are you crazy? You don't have a job. You don't have anywhere to stay. You don't have this and don't have that, whatever. But then she has a contact. What is my point? My point is not saying you're going to take up your children and just go somewhere. That is crazy if God didn't send you. But if God send you, you're crazy not to go. And that comes through You can know when you have constant communication with him. Somebody asked me once, how do you know that God is saying that to you? I'm thinking, how do you know when he's not saying it to you? How do you know that he's not the one? Because he talks to you through his word. So when you pray, I'm going to teach you a little bit of something this evening before we get deeper into doctrine. I want us to get into the habit of praying the scriptures, praying the word of God. We're going to take a couple minutes as soon as I'm done with this listing here because we want to see how we develop that weapon. Because remember we said 2 Corinthians, what's your verse? What is your homework? Of course I gave you homework. You weren't in class? 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 6. Yeah, 4 to 6. That's your homework. That's your assignment. What's the assignment, class? 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 6. What does it say? It says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of. And what do we call the strongholds? Weaknesses. So are we going to call them weaknesses anymore? They're strongholds for Satan. Now we got to get rid of those strongholds for Satan in our lives. We got to let him go because the scripture said what? Submit to God and resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. So as the last day people who have this last day message, we have to understand what we're into. We're into a warfare. The Apostle Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, guess what? Every one of us can register and enlist in a division of the army. Because every single one of us can pray. That is your weapon. That's the secret arsenal. So, you might have, you call some people Navy SEALs and Marines or whatever, but we're all in the army. Those who are the Navy SEALs and the Marines is those who probably have been in it a little bit longer and are a little bit more daring. You know some daring people like that lady who said, God called me to altar, well, she just packed her bag and she's gone. I haven't heard any evil report of her since she left, so I figure it's all good. She's gone, just like Abraham did. So we got to go there. So as soon as we're done, we're going to see how now, how as a third angel's message people, we're going to go. So we feed on the mind of Christ. So remember all the things we're looking at now. We're looking at the third angel's message. We're looking to see who we are, but also we're going to see how we're going to be able to fit into all of that. We feed on the mind of Christ so that the Holy Spirit can seal us for himself. Isn't that what we're talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Do we know what the sealing is? Who is it who seals us? The Holy Spirit, right? And what does the Bible say we're not to, how we're to relate to the Holy Spirit? He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you are sealed. And how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? And when he speaks to us, we don't listen. We ignore him. Yes. We ignore and we keep disobeying over and over and over and over until he says, okay, have it your way. All right. And then we become like in the cocoon there. We see, I'm going to go to the next slide. We become transparent Christians. People can basically see, they see your lifestyles. There are no shadows in there. You're transparent. This now is a transparent chrysalis. Before, couldn't quite see what's in there. We see some dark shadows, some little reddish, right? But now we're sure of what we see. Something in there that looks like a butterfly wings. We become transparent. Because the mind of Christ is taking over our minds. So when the mind of Christ takes over our minds, we are not afraid. We're not afraid of him because we are now. What are we afraid of now at this point in time? What are we afraid of? What are we really afraid of now and should be afraid of? Of what? Leaving him, in other words? I want a three-letter word. Sin. That's what we should be afraid of. Sin. Because when we fear God, he says we fear the Lord. Remember the song we just sang? Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. So we fear God. We are giving glory to him according to Revelation 14. Because as the apostle says in, and I found it, I kept saying it this morning, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Because we have the mind of Christ. So Christ's mind becomes our mind because we have surrendered all. And here, this butterfly is ready to emerge. So if there be first a willing, one version says, another version says, a ready mind. Ready mind, because we serve the Lord Christ with our minds. Hear what Paul says. With the mind, I serve the law of God. But with my flesh, what do? I serve the flesh. So I see a law in my mind warring. There's constant warfare with me. I want to do right, but a part of me doing wrong. I want to do right, a part of me doing wrong. I want to do right, a part of me doing wrong. Warfare. But then 2 Corinthians 10 comes in there. What does it say again? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, it's translated in Ephesians where Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, then they're spiritual. And if the weapons are spiritual that are fighting against you, you need a spiritual defense. Isn't that right? Let's say you fight fire with fire. So you need a spiritual defense. And what is your spiritual defense? Your spiritual defense is letting the Holy Spirit fight for you. And how do you encourage the Holy Spirit in your life? Through coming to God, through submitting and surrendering, as we talked about that. So the third angel's message, we fear God. We are afraid of sinning against him. That is the only thing we fear. So somebody say, you're not afraid to just leave and just go? No, you're not afraid of that. That's nothing. That's not sin. You could be cozy in your home with your door locked and you said, okay, good. I have established myself here, but establish it in sin. Is that something we're supposed to be afraid of? Or you just go and you just get up and you just gone, whatever. Don't know. Maybe don't even have any money, whatever, but you're gone anyway. You're thinking, aren't you afraid to do that? No. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Am I teaching something revolutionary here? It sounds a little bit revolutionary, but I'm just giving you the wildest concept that I can think of. I don't want you to get the point. That we have to be afraid of sin. And we have to be afraid lest we should sin against him, because that is how we show that we fear him. When Adam stopped fearing God, he became afraid of God. So we don't want to mistake the two. So our message is to fear God and give glory to him. Did we see the butterfly emerging from the cocoon and going from flower to flower? Do you think that was giving glory? Yeah. I was giving glory to God. For the hour of his judgment is come. Now, when Moses asked God to show him his glory, what did God say to Moses? Exodus 34. Exactly. My presence shall go before you. But what did God say? He passed before him. And what did he say? Yes, he named, do you know what those are, what God was just naming at that point? And that character is, again, we saw it earlier, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Did we see some of the fruits of the Spirit there? Love. I am God, loving, gracious, long-suffering, kind, abundant in goodness and in truth. Are those some of the fruits of the Spirit? That's what God was saying. My spirit shall go before you. So when we live and manifest the fruits of the Spirit, we're showing glory to God. So that's what the butterfly was doing, for those of you who are here before to see the video. All right? So as we come down now to this point, now the next part of the message in Revelation 14 says what? Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. What was judgment hour for the butterfly? What do you think was a crucial point for that butterfly? When it It waited for the wings to be filled with the fluid. Because what would have happened if the wings didn't fill up with the fluid? He would not be able to fly. And we want to be able to say, fly, butterfly. Right? So it is very crucial. So as God's people, what are we waiting for? To be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. See the connection there? So that we can minister for him, right? And day by day, we need to be imbibing and imbuing the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go back to Revelation 14. So the next part of the lesson says, the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And we know, we say that, oh, this means that we're the people who keep Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, for in it the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the seas and the fountains of waters. But, yes, he gives us the Sabbath, but also he is the creator. Because remember, Satan once worshipped too. Satan offered Jesus this earth, the heavens and the earth and the seas and the fountains of waters. Did you know that that's what Satan offered Jesus on the mountain? Yeah. He said, all this will I give you. What was all this? The heavens and the earth and the seas and the fountains of waters. If you bow down and worship me. So we have to know who and what we're worshiping, right? So that we can worship the Lord the way that he says. And then we come down where it says, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Because he has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, which is poured out without mixture. Right. So what else did we see happening with the butterfly there? Did you see the butterfly falling out? Yeah, he was falling out of his cocoon there. But why didn't he fall to the ground and perish? Because his wings were not damaged. And then when he came out, they were intact. In the same way, now when the Holy Spirit seals us inside there, we're intact, and we got to come out, and we don't come out as people who cannot go through all this time of trouble, and we can't minister for God. We can minister for God because we are filled with his Spirit. All right? So let us go to the next point now. Now, it says Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. What do we refer to as Babylon? We refer to that as false doctrine, right? Okay, confusion. So we want to look a little bit at some of the confusion that we see around us. And we're going to come back to the butterfly now. And we're going to look at our picture to see if we can see the difference. We're going to see if we can see symmetry, similarity. We're going to look for confusion. We're going to look for all that there. Okay, so 1 Peter 2, 1 to 11. 1 Peter 2, 1 to, where is it, 1 Peter or 2 Peter? Hold on. 2 Peter, sorry. 1 to 11. You can just read a part of it if you don't want to read all. I can read the rest. Or I can read it if... Okay, she's finding it.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so second.
Give her some time.
1 to 11.
You can sit if you want since you have the mic.
False prophets appeared in the past among the people, and in the same way false teachers will appear among you. They will bring in destructive, yet untrue doctrines and will deny the master who redeemed them. And so they will bring upon themselves sudden destruction. Even so, many will follow their immoral ways, and because of what they do, others will speak evil of the way of truth. In their greed, these false teachers will make a profit out of telling you made-up stories. For a long time now, their judge has been ready, and their destroyer has been wide awake. God did not spare the angels who sinned, but threw them into hell, where they are kept chained in darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. God did not spare the ancient world, but
brought the flood of the world on the world of godless people. The only ones he saved were Noah, who preached righteousness, and seven other people. God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, destroying them with fire, and made them an example of what will happen to the godless. He rescued Lot, a good man who was distressed by the immoral conduct of lawless people. That good man lived among them, and day after day he suffered agony as he saw and heard their evil actions. And so the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials and how to keep the wicked under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who follow their filthy bodily lusts and despise God's authority. These false teachers are bold and arrogant and show no respect for the glorious beings above. Instead, they insult them, even the angels who are so much stronger and mightier than these false teachers. Do not accuse them with insults in the presence of the Lord.
That's 2:11. Okay, my reader from here. Speak up. Who's going to read? You want to read? She can read.
Which one is the rest of it?
No, this group now. I'm going to read 12 to 22.
Okay.
And then you guys are going to read Matthew.
But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, to whom the gloom of darkness is reserved forever.
Amen. Thank you. Are we just going to quickly read? Somebody?
That's not quite the 22.
Up to 22, the end?
No.
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
The end, right to the end.
For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through licentiousness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Okay, in two sentences, what is 2 Peter 2 talking about here? False prophets and false teachers, right? And where are they found? In the church, among God's people. Okay, Matthew 24, 24 to 28. That's this section.
What section?
Right here, these guys here. Verses 24 to 28. Just another scenario. Yes, go ahead. Sure.
For there shall arise false prophets and false Christs and false prophets, and shall grow great signs and wonders, so that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Why, if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Okay, thank you. So this is another scenario of iniquity among us as God's people. Let us take a look at the butterfly before I make a comment then. So we see that Babylon is fallen, right? If Babylon is fallen among us, then we have to know and recognize that we are in a situation where we have to know the genuine from the true. I want us to take a look at the butterfly. I'm asking you, I want you to look at this picture here and see if you can see any differences in them. I'm giving you a couple seconds to do that. Okay, and I'm going to ask somebody to tell me the similarities. Somebody's going to tell me the difference. So somebody from this side is going to tell me the similarities, and I want the differences from somebody over here. Similarities you're giving me and differences. Okay, so are we ready? Another 10 seconds. All right, we're ready. What are some of the similarities? Anybody from, like, we know the half of our room? Both spotted, mm-hmm. Both have wings, mm-hmm. They're both butterflies, mm-hmm. Different segments, mm-hmm. Both wings spread. Upper and lower set of wings, right? Okay, good. Anything else? And the colors are pretty close. Let's say, for example, you were up in the air looking at these two butterflies. Would you be able to distinctly tell the difference between the colors? No. Okay, good. All right, so some differences now. There's no what? There's a difference in the head. Wow, good. We see a difference in the head of this one here. Okay, the one on the left. So we're going to say left and right, okay? The one on the left. What else do you notice different? There are at least three other differences there. One is connected to the branches, and the other one is connected to something else, like a net. A net. Wow, that's a key word. Feeding on dead, on death. That's deep. Okay, what else do you see there? One is brighter than the other one. Mm-hmm. Huh? Pardon? What about those lines? Tell me something about those lines. They're totally the same on both sides. But there are two differences in the lines. I'll give you that number, and then I want you to tell me what the differences are in the lines. And I'm going to go up to the picture. Well, I'll just do it right here. Let me a pencil, please. Let's see if you can see it from here. Oh. Huh? Yeah, I have to go all the way up there, right? Okay. Do you notice these lines here? They're not over there. When the Bible talks about the lines of the righteous, they're drawn up. Those are the lines there. There are another set of lines up here which are not present over there. And as you talk about the head and what they're feeding on, you see the differences? But at the same time, how many differences did we find? We talk about the lines, the head, the color, and what they're feeding on. What are the similarities? Let's see if we can name them again. The colors are the same. The wings are the same. They have the same name. They're the same creature. What else is the same about them? The spots are the same, and they even have lines that look. So we have more seeming similarities, but the differences are a little bit harder to see, right? And if you were further away, that would be even less visible, right? So when you go further away, You can't hardly tell the difference between them. Now, I'm going to show you something here that I found out about the butterfly. We remember, and I was trying to have the two on the same page, but my pictures are too big. So the one on the left, right, is, remember the name I told you to bear in mind at the beginning? What was the name of the butterfly? The monarch. And what does the word monarch connote? Kingship, royalty. That's the monarch butterfly. And we are children of the king. Okay, so that's a monarch butterfly. Oh, okay, I'm going the wrong way. Okay, it says most predators have learned that the monarch butterfly makes a poisonous snack. The toxins from the monarch's milkweed diet have given the butterfly this defense. What is our milkweed again? The Word of God, is right? And because of the Word of God, we make a poisonous snack to predators. In either the caterpillar or butterfly stage, the monarch needs no camouflage because it takes in the toxins from the milkweed and is poisonous to predators. Your text, my sister. I'd like you to read it for me from James. It's there, James 4, 6 to 7. Many animals advertise their poisonous nature with bright colors, just like the monarch. So remember we said that the monarch, which is the one on the left, is brighter than this butterfly on the right. This is a picture of a viceroy butterfly. This is a viceroy, and that's a monarch. But who knows anything about... who knows anything about the word viceroy? Who is a viceroy? Substitute for a leader. And not just any leader, but a monarch. And because we find viceroy, the word viceroy is used in the British Commonwealth more and in other countries that have kings. So you're beginning to see what we're dealing with here now? Yes, but viceroy is used more like a, you know, in monarchies, in royal kingdoms, right? So I'm going back to the note now. Take a good look. It said that many animals advertise their poisonous nature with bright colors, just like the monarch. What makes us poisonous to Satan again? Sticking with the word through prayer. We have to spend time in prayer, or we have to spend time with the word. James 4, 6 to 7. Can you read it again for me, please, Sister Hillary?
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God... sorry, what verse? 6?
6 to 7.
Okay. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yeah. So that stripe, remember the lines that I showed you? That if you know the difference between the butterfly, that stripe, that line at the back, the bottom wings, that line there that goes across, the horizontal line pretty much, that's the giveaway. That's how you know the difference between a monarch, going over there to show it to you. This, where the Bible says in Isaiah, their lines are drawn up from the ends of the earth. That is what helps you to know the difference between the monarch butterfly and the viceroy. And also, if you look a little bit closely, yes, these two have, they try to camouflage it, but they also have another set of brighter spots coming down here. You see how close they are? You have to be looking in the same way the Bible tells us about false teachers and false prophets. They cannot be false if they don't have a close resemblance to the true. How are we going to overcome them? It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's what makes us poisonous to the attacks of the enemy. And immune to the attacks of the enemy. So we want to spend some time in prayer now. We want to ask God to give us the strength. And while we pray now, as I said earlier, I was going to teach you how to pray the word. So you have a word that you can pray. What can you pray? What can you pray now? 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 6. You can pray that. You can pray any word. But as a butterfly who wants to be receiving the victory, who wants to all this iniquity to be cast down around you, you're going to pray that word, first of all. So you're going to look at it with a neighbor for 2 minutes. We're going to meditate. We're going to pray about it, pray on it, and we're going to ask God to cast down the strongholds in and around our lives. Now, what have you noticed this last session that I've been doing? We've been going through the word, right? You need the word of God. You need that. So as you pray. So you don't need a pastor. You don't need a prayer warrior. You don't need to be depending on whatever, because we don't want our, where's my thing? The wings. You don't want your wings to be clipped, right? You want to be able to work and work like the butterfly so that God can fill you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to put out the effort. You're going to spend the time in prayer. You're going to spend the time in Bible study. You're going to spend the time. You're going to put in the work. That's your work. We're not working out our salvation, but your work is get up, have worship, do your Bible reading, do your Bible study, spend time there and spend time on your knees. And even if you can't get on your knees, spend time talking with God, because sometimes you're driving your car, you can't get on your knees, but you're talking to God. Ask him to be the pilot. See what I'm saying? Okay, so we want to practice that a little bit now before we close off here, because I think we need to finish early so that they can come in to do that. We're going to sing Whisper a Prayer in the morning, Whisper a Prayer at noon, Whisper a Prayer in the evening to keep your hearts in tune, right? And just wanted to give you a heads up. We didn't get a chance to go deeper into the most holy places. As I said, we're going to bring in some of the third angel's message aspects here. You see on the left that picture there? What does it look like to you? Autumn leaves, eh? Looks like autumn leaves. But you know what they are? They're not autumn leaves. It's just hundreds of mono butterflies together. And Ellen White tells us in early writing that we must press together, press together, press together as God's people. And in addition to that, we are going to take the literature. We're going to scatter the literature, the little steps to Christ, the little tracks here, there, and everywhere. It's part of our ministry, like leaves of autumn. So we're going to look like that. That's hundreds of butterflies, not autumn leaves, so that we can fulfill the call from the first angel's message. Okay? All right. So whisper a prayer in the morning. You're going to grab yourself a partner. And if you don't know what to pray in the scripture. So let me tell you what you're going to do now. When we're finished singing the song, you're going to both read a verse of scripture and you can each comment. Take a moment to reflect on it, a couple seconds, and each person say what you see inside there. If you want to choose another verse of scripture for now, it's fine. If you want to choose a psalm, but don't read more than 2 or 3 verses, right? Because we don't have a lot of time. And then you're going to pray. Are the instructions clear? Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your hearts in tune. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your hearts in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. So you may proceed with your scripture reading.